What's up, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Jays, presented on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss, back for another episode to talk all things Toronto Blue Jays on the Locked On Podcast. Wow, what a game tonight. Unfortunately, Blue Jays do not pull it out, but we still have an episode to talk about, and unlike the previous episode, I'm joined by a special guest, my co-host, the Locked On Jays Podcast. It's AJ Andrews. AJ, welcome to the pod. Welcome.
It feels kind of weird to hear that, Lucas. I'm not going to lie, given...
Well, it's great for you to be here.
I said, that's... it's the first time I haven't done the intro to this podcast in a long, long time. And I know you were flying solo your first one yesterday and doing a great job. Like I said last week, I'm really happy that you're a part of the show because I enjoyed our conversations. And yeah, I think I've gotten all the niceness out of my system now. We can talk about this game now. Yeah.
Absolutely. So on this episode, though, we're going to talk about a bunch of different topics on the Blue Jays. Of course, we're going to talk about the strike zone, which was a little bit questionable, but mainly a bigger issue which took place, which was obviously the one-dimensional offense and how that's causing a lot of challenges for the Blue Jays, especially if they're going to make a postseason run. Robbie Ray, I mean, there was a lot of conversation before this game about him potentially locking up the Cy Young. I said on the last show, he's going to be the Cy Young. May not have been his best start, but I still do like his chances. I still think he probably will be in that mix for the Cy Young, but we'll talk about Robbie Ray. And then we're going to end with some love for Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And we talked about this off the air, AJ, how he's been sort of the forgotten man of that young core, but he's having a great September. So we're going to talk about all that stuff. Now, before we get into the show, though, I want to show some love, though, to Locked On MLB. Yes. Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Audacity app or wherever you get your podcasts. And that's another reminder, just wherever you get your podcasts, you can find Locked On Jays, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, all that great stuff. All right, we're going to get into this episode. The Blue Jays, of course, losing their first game to the Tampa Bay Rays 6-4. And AJ, that strike zone. And I'm not one to normally complain about umpires or referees. They have a very challenging job. I do not envy their position. But there was a night for robotic umpires. I think tonight's the night because there were some questionable calls.
Oh my God. I mean, again, I know we haven't been doing this together long, but I am all about blaming umpires for not doing their jobs properly. And I say this as someone who works in a field who never has her work noticed unless there's a major mistake that probably one of my coworkers did. But yeah, Ron, mea culpa. Had to offer plenty of those. I mean, he's not going to because MLB umpires, but I mean, there were so many calls in that ninth inning that just did not make sense. Like it's like he was just like, what's my drama quotient going to be? Oh, all right, let's make this a full count then. Like that second strike to Teoscar Hernandez in the ninth was nowhere near his knees. I mean, if Teoscar's in the box with the driver, maybe he hits that. And then like back-to-back pitches from Dietrich Enns in that final at-bat to Breivik Valera. Breivik Valera had a walk, which is basically what he was sent up there to do. But one pitch was a strike and one pitch was a ball. And who's to know what anything is? Like, it's sad that Ron Culpa made himself an easy scapegoat for this game, because as we're going to talk about later, there are other underlying issues with the Blue Jays in this game. But like it's so easy to become that unifying lightning rod of hate. And Ron Culpa did it with just his inability to keep his own strike zone in check.
Absolutely. And look, these are big games. This is September, 2 weeks left in the regular season. You're trying to get to the playoffs. You need some consistency. I mean, that's all we want. I think that's what the players want. I think that's what the managers want. The fans, I know fans are irrational to begin with, but I think deep down in their core, they want some consistency. And I just don't think tonight you got that consistency. I mean, Robbie Ray, I mean, there were moments in the game where he didn't get the calls. And then later in the game, the exact same calls that Robbie Ray didn't get, the Rays pitcher got. I mean, we just need some consistency. That's all we're asking for. And in a game like this, look, I know it's easy to pinpoint those mistakes, but they cost you chances, especially in big moments of games. And that's what happened in the Jays tonight. I'm not going to solely blame it on the umpires, but make the right call. And at least it could have been at least something different. Who knows? Especially that Valera, Braylon Valera. I mean, that was high. A runner comes in, the pressure's on the pitcher. Who knows what happens? It's just, AJ, horrible calls. Just horrible calls.
They are. And, like, I don't know if it's pity for the pitcher. I mean, the fact that you said Ray's pitcher and didn't want to name one, I mean, I understand that because the biggest name they trotted out tonight was, I think, Colin McHugh. I mean, like I said, Dietrich Enns got the save. I had to double check who Dietrich Enns was because I vaguely remembered a pitcher for the Twins by that name who started like two games and was Garb. And I checked, same guy who had a 6.75 ERA for Minnesota in 2017 and did not make an appearance in the majors until this year for Tampa Bay, going out there and getting those calls like that. And like the Rays don't need any help. I think they actually clinched the division with this win or were pretty close to it. They don't need the help. Tropicana Field is enough of a handicap for the team coming in. They don't need umpire help as well. But
I said on the last episode of Locked On Jays, which you should definitely check out if you haven't listened to it. It's a house of horrors for the Toronto Blue Jays. We know the bad luck that exists in that place. And once again, it just manifests itself tonight. I want to give a shout out though to Shane Baz. I mean, this is a guy that just made his debut tonight. And this is a guy that was in the Chris Archer deal, which got the Rays Austin Meadows and so many of the other, great, I think Tyler Glasnow. So it's wild. I mean, what the Rays were able to do.
The final nail in that trade's coffin, Shane Baz coming up and again, looking like a serviceable piece, which is the exact opposite of what Chris Archer, his current teammate, by the way, what he looked like for the Pirates.
Yeah. Yeah. And to confirm, it was Austin Meadows, Tyler Glasnow, and Shane Baz in that trade. So the Rays clearly won that trade. But I want to get to something, larger issue with the Jays. And I've been sort of saying this now for a little while, and it sort of reminds me a bit of 2015 in the sense that, again, like this is a high-powered offense that can do a lot of damage when they're on, but it's a bit one-dimensional, AJ. And I think tonight, I know they made things interesting down the stretch, but for a long time, they only had like two hits. Both of them were home runs. And when your offense isn't clicking for the Blue Jays, it's concerning when they can't find other ways to get guys on base and manufacture runs.
Lucas, I know you've only been co-host for a little bit, but I want to welcome you to one of my longest pastimes in my time as host/co-host of this podcast. And that is exactly that topic. The Blue Jays not being able to do anything but adhere to the three true outcomes. And Shane Baz wasn't offering up any walks. So Like, and like I said, Baz going out there making his debut, and another talking point I've spouted ad nauseum on this podcast, the Blue Jays not being able to handle pitchers they have never seen before, because that seems to be a recurring trend. I swear to God, you want every pitcher in your organization to debut against the Jays because they'll give them confidence. But like, he threw 65 pitches tonight, Shane Baz, 51 were strikes. There was no reason to rush the kid. Like he was going to have to find himself, and he was going to have to offer something else up. But the Blue Jays just don't do that. They don't have the habit of making pitchers work. They still don't really have the habit of drawing counts out. And some of them are getting better. Teoscar Hernandez is so much better at it now than he was a couple of years ago. But there's a level of aggressiveness with these Blue Jays, and sometimes it pays off with the home runs we saw by Teoscar Hernandez, by Lourdes Gurriel Jr. But other times it just results in balls pounded in the dirt. And I know this because I am incredibly aggressive at the plate. You ask anyone who watches me play softball, I will swing at almost anything. And the difference is I can hit it where fielders aren't. Blue Jays aren't doing that. They're just pounding balls into the dirt, and they're lifting lazy flies because they're just missing on these pitches. And like I said, it's just frustrating that sometimes they just fall back into this, let's try and out solo home run the other team, because a team like the Rays is not going to do that.
No, they're not. And I think for me, my level of concern, especially with what you're talking about, is when they get to an ALDS or an ALCS, you know, best of five, best of seven game series, where it's a small sample size. And we've seen this in MLB history where offenses just go cold. And look, I'm not saying to be, you know, full small ball here, like, you know, circa Kansas City Royals 2015, still giving me nightmares. But I think finding ways to adapt, finding unique ways to manufacture runs, getting guys on base. And let's be honest, this has been a problem all season long. Is guys cashing in with runners in scoring position, getting those key hits. Look, I mean, it was bases loaded, you know, in the bottom of the ninth, meaning top of the ninth, could have cashed in there down two runs, didn't happen. It's something that I think is going to need to be addressed going forward, because it can't continue like this.
Yeah. I mean, the benefit is they were 1-for-2 with runners in scoring position tonight with the Marcus Simeon home sure. run and the Breivik Valera strikeout that really should have been a walk because Ron Culpa is bad.
Yeah.
But no, it is a trend that has manifested itself for a long time with this team. As you said, they tensed up a bit. And I think that was one of the more exciting things about the run they went on at the start of the month, that long winning streak. It looked like they had figured out, like, oh, maybe we can sit back a little bit and let the pitchers come to us, and then we can get hits in these situations instead of, you know, swinging out of our socks for the fences. Bo Bichette used the line a couple weeks ago that the Blue Jays kept trying to hit two-run home runs with no one on base. And my God, did they not look like that tonight more than any other night. And if they're going to start slipping back into those habits now, they're going to let the Yankees catch up with them. I mean, the Yankees struggled to put away a terrible Texas team tonight, just managed to outlast them 4-3. Don't let that team pass you. You're better than that team. Like, it's just frustrating to see those bad habits start to reemerge at a time when they cannot afford to lapse into that mentality that cost them so many games earlier this season.
Well, as the eternal optimist on the Locked On Jays podcast, we're still in the playoff spot. We're still ahead of the Yankees. Barely, but we're still ahead. AJ, we're going to talk about Robbie Ray. I love me some Robbie Ray talk. May have not had the best night, but I still think he's one of the leading AL Cy Young candidates. That's coming up. But first, let me talk to you about betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. All right, AJ, Robbie Ray. Now, I listened to a lot of chatter on talk radio and different TV shows leading in, and clearly there was a lot of talk about Robbie Ray, and rightfully so. I mean, he's had an incredible season. He, coming into this game, was sort of the Ray killer, if you will. I mean, he's had an incredible record with the Rays. I don't think he had his best stuff tonight. I mean, the Rays were certainly, you know, being aggressive on him and making life difficult for him with a lot of extended at-bats. What was your sort of impression of Ray's performance tonight? And do you think it impacts any of the Cy Young candidacy that is Robbie Ray this year?
Well, I think the best thing for Robbie Ray's candidacy is that Gerrit Cole got torched by Cleveland the other night. I mean, that's just not going to look good on anyone's resume. You give up 7 runs to Cleveland. So he had a little bit of slack to work with, given that, it's him. It's Gerrit Cole against Robbie Ray. We're pretty cool on that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, with respect to Lance Lynn, who's had a good season, it's Ray and Cole, for sure.
Yeah. Chicks dig strikeouts, baby. but yeah, it's totally a microcosm of how Robbie Ray is as a pitcher. He can be so dominant and so effective, but he does have a tendency to give up home runs, because when you pitch like he does, a batter just kind of has to get a half swing on it, and if they get enough of the ball, it'll fly out. I thought he was going to be fine tonight because Mike Zunino isn't in the lineup, and Mike Zunino just seems to hit home runs against Robbie Ray every single start. Instead, it was just an inability to keep guys off the bases. Ray gave up 7 hits in 4 2/3 innings. That's not his usual MO. Gave up the 2 walks. He's been usually pretty good about his control this season. So when you have that many base runners, that makes it more imperative you don't give up those mistake pitches to a guy. And he did in Yandy Diaz. And that 3-run home run, I think that pretty much sealed it. Like the way the Blue Jays were operating on offense, once the Rays got the lead, it felt like one of those games that just sucks the life out of the Blue Jays fan base. It's a game where they don't think they're coming back. And like I said, you think the first half of September would change those perceptions. But I mean, we saw again, they were relying on home runs. They were doing the same things. There wasn't enough reason to believe, as hard as Marcus Semien tries. And God, how I love how Marcus Semien tries to make me keep having faith in this team when it gets to that point, when it has games like this. But, you know, it was a rare time when Robbie Ray needed his offense to pick him up, and they just couldn't do it tonight. So I don't think this affects his Cy Young chances. I think he's still in a very strong position, given, as we said, he's basically neck and neck with Gerrit Cole on strikeouts. He has the edge in ERA still. His ERA only went up to 2.72 tonight. So I'm not too worried. And we still have a Ray killer. We still have a Ray killer coming up in Alek Manoah. So I'm not as worried, but it still wasn't great tonight.
No, and look, I think, you know, could, you know, I back to our earlier segment, could Robbie Ray have gotten some calls, absolutely. And again, it speaks to that frustration when some of those non-calls turn into calls later in the game. But we've already discussed that. Look, the numbers weren't great for Robbie Ray tonight. When you think of his first five starts against the Rays, I mean, he had a coming in a 1.85 ERA. The opposing batting average was 169. 43 strikeouts to just three walks. And it just speaks to, again, Robbie Ray's transformation as a pitcher this year. And Charlie Montoyo talked a bit about it in his pregame press conference that, I mean, look, no one could have expected what Robbie Ray could have been this year. I mean, we saw glimpses, but still, I mean, temper the expectations. But Charlie Montoyo was very upbeat when they brought Robbie Ray back, that he thought that he could have the potential to have a great season. And I think too, and this may not be said enough, and Montoyo made this point about the Cy Young candidacy, is, I mean, Ray had to pitch in Dunedin, he had to pitch in Buffalo, and then Toronto, and then the other opposing teams' ballparks, and he's still having this incredible season. So to still do that, given all the circumstances, I just think it's incredible. And I think we saw some of the great stuff, AJ, that he did tonight. I mean, that bend the knee slider in the bottom of the second was just incredible. 86 miles per hour. It was just a thing of beauty. It was just one of the things that make Robbie Ray so great.
Oh my God, it's so good. And let's see Gerrit Cole pitch in Trenton. See how he does. Like, geez. Yeah. And, you know, with Ray having the outing he did tonight, I did have people messaging me on Twitter being like, Is this a sweep? Is this where the dream goes to die? I'm not willing to say that yet because, like you said, Robbie Ray's a Tampa killer. Alek Manoah's a Tampa assassin. Two and one with an 0.96 ERA in three starts with 29 strikeouts and 18 and two-thirds innings. I'm still very confident in Alek Manoah being able to go out there and just bend Tropicana Field to his will. But it's now more imperative that he keeps up his stunning stat line against the Rays just to make sure the air isn't sucked out of that balloon that the Blue Jays have going. I mean, they avoided losing momentum when they lost that game to the Orioles. They avoided losing momentum when they lost the series opener to the Twins. They came back, they got the series wins there. We'll have to see how they respond to that. And having Manoah on the mound will help, but it is going to be about the offense bouncing back and being able to put up some numbers against this Rays pitching staff, because more often than not, they don't do it. And we're just here wondering why Drew Rasmussen is able to shut the Blue Jays down.
Yeah, still blows the mind. I think the last point I'll say on Ray, I still think he's going to be a pitcher to use in a wild card game situation, potentially a game 162. He's still that guy. And I think if he has one more solid outing, like I said on the previous episode of the pod, he's locked up the Cy Young. And I just think it's, again, just an incredible year for Robbie Ray. And I just think it's going to continue when the stage gets brighter, if the Jays do make the playoffs. And if they do make the playoffs, AJ, obviously they're going to have to rely on their young core. Someone that might be forgotten, who's doing so well in September, the Pineapple, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. We're going to talk about that in just a bit. But first, I want to talk to you about DirecTV. I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Now, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer. Choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry, you have computers with access to rockauto.com at your home and in your pocket. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And here's the thing. Rock Auto prices, they are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpets. They have everything. All you got to do is go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, AJ, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., what a guy. Continuing to have incredible September. We're going to end this episode on a bit of a high note with what Gurriel did tonight. He made an incredible catch, and give credit to Charlie Montoyo for challenging that play. He also hit another home run, which he seems to be doing constantly in September. Just how impressive you've been with Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And I think you made the point off the air. He's sort of been this forgotten guy. I mean, with the glamour of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And Bo Bichette, and rightfully so, they've gotten a lot of the attention. But that spotlight better be shining on Lourdes Gurriel because he's having an incredible September.
Mm. And not only that, with the signings of Marcus Semien and George Springer in the offseason, I mean, it felt like we were talking less about Lourdes Gurriel being a piece of the future for the Blue Jays and more Lourdes Gurriel being a trade chip. Like, and I think that may be why he was a little undervalued going into the season, because they had like four outfielders at the time, five now, with Corey Dickerson in the fold. And when you look at how his season has progressed, it kind of backed that up. Like, he started very slowly. He only batted .224 in March and April. It took him a little bit to heat up, but you know, after a subpar July by his standards, he only hit .235. The power wasn't really showing up. He started to kick it into gear in August as the team started to get rolling a little bit more. And obviously September, he has been electric. 6 home runs, 28 RBIs in the month of September. Heading into tonight, he was batting .359. Obviously slightly down with the 1-for-3 performance tonight, but he's just been exactly what the Blue Jays needed from the bottom of the lineup that they weren't getting a lot of nights. How many nights did we see 6-9 in the Blue Jays lineup going like 0-for-3, 0-for-3, 0-for-2 with a walk, 0-for-3? It's very hard to sustain offensive production when you get nothing out of the bottom of your lineup. But Lourdes is in that lower anchor position in the Blue Jays lineup, being the guy who's being banked on to be able to drive runs home that maybe Bo Bichette or Teoscar Hernandez left on the table. With him being able to pick up the offense like that, it was no surprise that the Blue Jays went on the winning streak they did, because they were finally getting consistent production from the bottom half of the lineup. And, you know, like I said, Breivik Valera got some attention because he was able to like slap some hits and basically be rich man's Munenori Kawasaki. So having Lourdes actually step up like that was huge for the Blue Jays' offensive fortunes. And, you know, you can make the argument tonight would have been a little different if Vladdy and Bo stepped up a little bit. I mean, they were a combined 0-for-7 in tonight's game, but Lourdes has reestablished himself as a force both offensively and defensively in left field. So I hope this means he's reasserted himself in that picture. And I hope it means that we don't have to go through another winter of, you know, potential Lourdes trade talk, because I still think that would be foolish to give up on Gurriel at this point.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a young hitter. He's someone that has a lot of potential, and I just love where he's placed in the lineup. I mean, he and it just goes to show you once again, like when the the Blue Jays bats are clicking. Now, not necessarily tonight, but when they are clicking, I mean, it just shows just the depth of the lineup. And he becomes the sixth Toronto Blue Jay to have, you know, 20 home runs in a single season. I mean, you know, in 2021, which is incredible. And he has 28 RBIs in September, the second most all-time by a Blue Jay in a month. So he's peaking at the right time. And I just think that if he just continues to have this type of success, and again, if, you know, the other guys in the lineup, like, you know, we saw Marcus Semien again, 41 home runs. He's trying to get the most home runs ever by a second baseman. It just goes to show again, just the depth of this lineup. And I just think for Lourdes Gurriel Jr., he's having fun. He's a great locker room presence. And I think his defense has also improved as well. So he's just being a huge impact player right now on this team when these games are getting even more important in the month of September.
Oh my God, that absolute cannon he has from the outfield. It is sexy as heck to see him just out there unleashing like that. He has 12 outfield assists this season. Do you want to guess who's second behind him? I'm going to bet you can't, Lucas.
I cannot. Enlighten me, AJ. Enlighten me.
It's Raimel Tapia of Colorado. He has 7.
Oh, my goodness.
Lourdes Gurriel Jr. almost has double the amount of assists from the outfield as the next best left fielder. He's actually he's second in the league behind Hunter Renfro of Boston with 16 outfield assists. So, like, he got the Golden Glove nomination last year, and I think he's making a strong case to actually get that award this season and get the recognition he does deserve for his defense. So, you know, I think he's actually a key piece of the Blue Jays going forward. I know it was a gamble they made when they signed him to that 7-year deal, but he's already paid it off. Like, it's already looking like one of the smartest contracts in Blue Jays history, and they still have him until like 2025. So,
yeah, truly amazing. Not enough words can say what Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has done. It's been an incredible September. And AJ, the incredible September continues on Tuesday as the Toronto Blue Jays once again take on the Tampa Bay Rays, 7:10 p.m. Eastern, his first pitch. Alek Manoah going in the hill for the Jays, hoping to keep pace in the AL wildcard hunt. They're in the playoff spot ever so barely, trying to exercise those demons at Tropicana Field. So hopefully they can get the win. That does it for us here on the Locked On Jays podcast. Thank you so much for listening. The one thing I will say, though, which I definitely think you should definitely check out in addition to Locked On Jays, is Locked On Bets. Betting on the MLB doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, beloved specials, Ron team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Jays. So for those listening, thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow Locked On Jays wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. I'm Lucas Weiss. That's my co-host, AJ Andrews. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back soon. Have a great one.